In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Thanks for listening on Monday, July 1st, 2013, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Today, bringing you the latest installation in our Chief Executive Officers Survey, CXO Surveys in Federal Government, brought to you by VMware. My colleague Jason Miller is in studio, and we'll introduce you to our in-studio guest today, talking about our Chief Human Capital Officer Survey for 2013. But Jason, refresh us about this series of surveys, please.
So what Federal News Radio is doing over the course of this year is looking and surveying the CXO community. So that includes, obviously, the Chief Financial Officers, the Chief Acquisition Officers, the Chief Information Officers, and today we have our Chief Human Capital Officer Survey. So the people who obviously who run the human resources, the human capital department. I always love the term human capital. It sounds like cattle in some sorts, but we go with what it's called. We don't make up the names, right? And today we're going to focus on obviously the Chico, and then we still have one more to go this for the first round of the performance improvement officers. And then we'll start over again.
Okay.
And again, this is the Chico. And let me tell you real quickly about the survey.
All right.
We got responses from about 14 deputy and full-time chief human capital officers.
Okay.
All of them were career employees, and it was nicely mixed between cabinet-level agencies, what we call large agencies like GSA or EPA, and then smaller independent agencies, almost right down the middle, 5, 4, and 5.
Okay.
So we got a good mix of small and large agencies and a good mix of Chicos and Deputy Chicos.
I am happy to welcome to our studio to talk about the results of our survey Jerry Buchholz, the Assistant Administrator for Human Capital Management at the National NASA. It's just easier to say NASA
because
if I spell it out,
NASA.
I'll screw it up. It is wonderful to see you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
When you looked overall at the results, and we'll dig into the specifics here in just a few minutes, but when you look at the overall results, what are some of the themes that struck you about some of the answers that your colleagues gave us?
Well, I think one of the interesting things is the focus on providing excellent service.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the questions that they responded to were improving hiring, improving the time to hire, being responsive to employees' concerns regarding sequestration, furloughs, hiring freezes, et cetera. And it was very clear to me that my colleagues are still very, very much focused on providing those quality services to their agencies and to their customers.
We asked overall for priorities to kind of get an idea of that very thing. And the two items that came in tops on the list, retaining your current workforce and improving employee morale, is it your sense, not just from what you see at NASA, but from the conversations you have with your peers across government, that what they're telling you and what you're seeing, that those results fit, that those are the two biggest challenges that you and your peers are up against?
Absolutely. We meet monthly, the Chief Human Capital Officers of the federal government, and we have, you know, an agenda for those meetings. And I would say that pretty much every agenda item each month falls into one of those two large overarching bins. Right now, there's a real focus, I think, on sustain, maintain, and grow employee morale in the federal government. Federal government employees provide valuable services to the American taxpayers, and it's really important that they continue to be engaged and invested in the missions of their organizations.
I was going to say, do you have, when you talk about employee morale, there's this presumption, and I think that it kind of shows in some of the other surveys we've done of federal employees. We did a federal employee engagement survey that morale is probably at an all-time low. Do you find that that's what everyone is saying, or is that just sometimes there's this belief that that's actually that's what people feel, but it's actually not the case?
Right. Certainly, we live in very challenging times. The situation that we are operating the federal government in right now, with, you know, pay freezes over many years, bonuses being on hold, any employer would find those situations challenging. I do think that morale is definitely something that we need to put some real thoughtful attention into. I do think that our employees in the federal government understand that their mission is very, very important, and they do understand that they work in a larger federal government that has challenges at this time. And if we can keep them focused on the mission and the important contribution that they make, we can weather this set of challenges. It's not going to last forever. At some point, federal government employees will receive pay increases again. At some point, they will receive bonuses again. So what we really need to do is help shepherd the workforce through.
One of the things that struck me about this priority list are some of the things that didn't seem to be ranked as highly. The last place item was improving the hiring process. Over 56% of the respondents ranked that either last or next to last in order of importance on this list of 10 things. And I thought that might be for a couple of reasons, and I'd be curious to hear your feedback on these reasons. One, maybe we've made enough progress that it's not as big a deal as it used to be. Two, that with Director Barry now moving on, and he seemed to be the big driver behind that, maybe the efforts petered out a little bit. What do you think about any of those possibilities?
I think it's actually the first thing that you mentioned. Several years ago, we embarked on a very, very vigorous effort in the federal government to improve our hiring processes across the board. And we were quite successful at that. And so now, with there being hiring slowdowns as a result of flat budgets, at some agencies actually have hiring freezes in place. People are intentionally slowing their hiring process so that they can make good decisions for their agency and make them at a time in the fiscal year that makes the most sense for their agency. And I feel that they have concluded that we've gotten a hold of that hiring system and can now use it in a way that best benefits the agency. And so it's a lower priority, not because it's important, but because it's just not a challenge for us right now.
It's interesting because when we talk about hiring, we did ask that question. On average, my agency hires a new employee in, and one of the things, the top answer was 81 to 100 days. The second answer was 46 to 80 days, and I think there is a goal to get it. I think, is it under 80 days?
It's a stretch goal of 80 days.
Right, and it sounds like a lot of agencies are close to it. From what you're seeing at NASA, I guess, where are you in that continuum, and how do you get to that 80-day mark?
It really depends on the position, and I think this is probably true across the whole federal government. It's important to remember that the employees of the federal government are a highly educated workforce. We're talking about attorneys, economists, engineers, aerospace engineers, physicists, and astronauts. You don't hire an astronaut in 80 days. You wouldn't want to hire an astronaut in 80 days. So for some positions, yes, we hire in less than the 80 days. In other positions, we take our time to make sure that we get a good decision. And I think that you will find that that's true across the federal government. You know, if we're hiring an aerospace engineer a mid-career or later in their career, that individual is not going to give 2 weeks' notice and come to NASA. They have projects that they're going to need to finish up at their current employer, and they're certainly, you know, likely to have a family. They need to make a move. And so the 80-day model, I think, is a general guideline, but I think the good news here is that agencies are using it in a way that best benefits their mission.
The next question in the survey dealt with a similar topic, and that's about hiring reform. And everybody that responded said hiring reform's working at my agency. The places where there are hiccups, it can't be perfect. So the places where there are hiccups, are they in minor areas, or are there still some, maybe just a few big boxes you need to push around before this is really running as the way you'd like it to?
I think it probably varies from agency to agency. I will tell you that there is a hiring reform part two working group out of the Chico Council of the federal government taking a look at those areas where we do think that there are quality improvements to be made, because it's not just a question of flow, and I would say that the 80-day hiring model is a flow metric, but also in terms of the quality of the individuals that we bring into the federal government. We want to make sure that those individuals are the very, very best people, as well as well-suited to public service. And so there are some additional areas that the Chico Council is going to be focusing on for the coming year.
Jerry Buchholz is the Assistant Administrator for Human Capital Management at NASA and their Chief Human Capital Officer. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about hiring freezes and what you're seeing across government. As we look at our Chief Human Capital Officers 2013 survey, my colleague Jason Miller and I talking about this is brought to you by VMware. We'll continue our conversation in a minute on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
At BAE Systems, protecting troops is always a top priority. That's why we create combat vehicles that not only help them win the fight, but bring them back home. Our vehicles are designed from the ground up with the latest integrated solutions, all with troops in mind. Knowing our work makes a difference inspires us every day, so we'll be there on the next front. That's BAE Systems. That's inspired work. Learn more at baesystems.com/nextfront.
Want to save money on vitamins, herbal remedies, and other health care needs? Then visit Village Green Apothecary during the big summer sale now through July 17th. You'll save 30% on the popular Pathway brand nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off natural body care products. Visit Village Green at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or shop online at myvillagegreen.com. And be sure to catch their top-notch radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, every Sunday at 10 a.m.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Zymogen and Metagen.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, sponsored by AT&T, every Tuesday morning at 11 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk has the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Check out the world of high technology in the federal government as John speaks to CISOs, CTOs, and CIOs and gets into the specifics for federal IT systems integrators. Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, sponsored by AT&T, Tuesday mornings at 11 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
The workplace is no longer a single place. People work from everywhere. Your field staff may be in an actual field. And if you're in federal IT, you need to make sure they can work as easily from a real farm as they can from the cube farm. CDWG can help with a mobility and VDI solution, one that meets government standards, so your users have the right devices and access to the right information and applications, without compromising security. And with mobile device management software, it'll be easier for you to keep an eye on things, no matter how far they may roam. Find out more at cdwg.com/mobility. CDWG, people who get it.
Visit cdwg.com to learn how to put productivity at your fingertips with the HP ElitePad, powered by the latest Intel Atom processor.
Tom Temin here with a preview of Tuesday's Federal Drive. The Small Business Administration has new size standards for women-owned businesses. Its chief economist explains what that means for federal contracting. Plus, a parade of federal employees has been testifying before Congress. Employment attorney John Mahoney outlines your obligations and rights when called. Those stories and much more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. My colleague Jason Miller and I reviewing the results of the Federal Chief Human Capital Officer Survey 2013, sponsored by VMware. And we're reviewing those results with Jerry Buchholz, the Assistant Administrator for Human Capital Management at NASA. You have been fortunate to be one of the agencies that's escaped hiring freezes, at least so far. What are you seeing, though, and what are you hearing, and what role do hiring freezes play when they do have to be used in times like we're in, or times where agencies are just overstaffed for whatever reason?
Certainly, hiring freezes are a tool that can be used by federal agencies along with early outs and buyouts, better known as VERA-VSIP. And it's really important federal government agencies manage their FTE effectively and efficiently. So when an agency is in a position where for whatever reason, they need to bring their head count down, they're given a couple of options. They can put a hiring freeze on. They can offer early outs and buyouts to their employees, or, you know, the ultimate option is a reduction in force. And often what agencies conclude is that it's better to put a slow on hiring than it is to exercise some of those other options, particularly later in the fiscal year. So it's a tool that agencies can use to make those adjustments through attrition. Hiring freezes, of course, are really only going to get you as far as your attrition is going to get you. At NASA, we have been bringing our headcount down for a couple of years now as a result of the end of the shuttle program. So we were already on a good downslope to what's going to be our steady state number. And so when the sequestration hit and some of the other things that hit this year, we were already postured for a lower headcount. And so we didn't have to put a hiring freeze in place.
One of the things you talk about is managing the FTEs. And it's always interesting from a non-HR person when people talk about FTEs, how many FTEs you have. But I guess what it comes down to is bringing down your headcount. How do you do that in a way that doesn't leave you, and I think as we talked about earlier, with peaks and valleys? Because you want to be more level, so you always have, you know, I think what I hear many times is you have people who've been in the government for 20, 30, 40 years, and people who've been in government for 5 to 7 years, and you have this trough in the middle. How do you avoid that?
Certainly, you know, smoothing that line out and having a nice slope in whichever direction you're sloping is the most efficient business model. And it can be very hard once you stop your recruitment and branding and hiring effort to, you know, get that engine running again. So the idea is that you would make mid-course corrections in a fiscal year to sort of posture yourself to go into the next fiscal year where you need to be so that you don't have to be stopping and starting. It's also really good to have a really well thought through strategic recruitment strategy so that you are bringing in people early career, mid-career, and at the expert level. And those different populations of people require different recruitment and hiring approaches. And so having a plan that, you know, kind of covers all of those bases helps create that smooth transition from one FTE level to another.
Do you find that agencies are doing a better job of creating that strategy you talked about for recruitment?
I think that there have been some changes recently in the federal government, certainly in terms of early career hiring with the Pathways program, that make that more obvious, make it easier to do that kind of advanced planning. I do think that in terms of what you described, you know, we're pretty good at hiring at the early career and we're pretty good at hiring at the expert, and where we tend to have this trough in the middle. I think that's actually very, very common. And so I think the federal government needs to do a little bit better branding for mid-career professionals, really encouraging those individuals to enter the federal workforce and to consider spending a portion of their career with the federal government.
I guess the good news that I see when it comes to the results we got on the hiring freezes is the hiring freezes that are in place have been around for a while. 40% of our respondents said that their hiring freeze, if they have one, was started 4 to 6 months ago, and 40% said more than 6 months ago. And then of those, 71% said they don't expect to have a hiring freeze in 2013 of the people who don't have one at all. And so it seems like most people are telling us through that combination of questions, we think the hiring freeze kind of period of time has passed us and we're headed out of that now. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say that your assessment of those responses is accurate, that people use the tool appropriately, they've made their adjustments over time, and that we are going to be heading into a more level steady state with, for many agencies, a lower head count, but at least you know what that head count is and you can plan to it.
You know, one of the things we talk often about this is I've never met a federal employee who said, well, I got nothing to do. You know, I wish I had less work. I mean, I wish I had more work because I'm bored. What does that do to you as a chief human capital officer? Just when someone says, okay, I used to have 20 people and now I'm having 15 or 13 people. I need more people. Like, does that put your office under more pressure because people feel like, wait a minute, I have the same amount of work to do, but I have fewer people to do it? Or is that something that the CIO has to take care of? You pass it over to that person because they have to come up with better technology, or the performance improvement officer who has to improve, you know, business process reengineering type stuff?
It is a conversation, I would say an ongoing conversation. The discussion of how many FTE and where they are going to be allocated, how many people are currently on board, who's going to be making adjustments and who needs to make adjustments. And, you know, while you have some subcomponents of your organization that may be shrinking, you may also have other subcomponents of your organization that are growing as mission priorities shift and change. So it can be a challenge for sure. And certainly there are tools like early outs and buyouts that let you make those kinds of adjustments. But we do have those ongoing conversations at NASA all the time. And we certainly had a big shift when the shuttle program ended and we started ramping up more of our science programs. We started building our new capsule and heavy lift rocket. And, you know, we needed to end one program to start another program. And so those kinds of shifts happened. So I think with good conversations, with good senior level commitment to the mission and good budget processes where FTE are really talked through and allocated, you can really deal with a lot of that up front.
The hiring freeze issue is one that managers don't like to think about. Some folks get a little bit queasy when they start hearing about early retirements, buyouts, and things like that, and that's where we'll go next with Jerry Buchholz. She's the Chief Human Capital Officer and Assistant Administrator for Human Capital Management at NASA. My colleague Jason Miller and I talking to her about our Federal Chief Human Capital Officer Survey 2013, brought to you by VMware, and we'll continue our conversation in a minute on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Are you feeling the effects of aging, achy joints and fatigue, weight gain and forgetfulness? Well, start feeling years younger with BioVaxin's advanced approach. It feeds your body at a cellular level. BioVaxin's complete A to Z liquid mineral vitamin will help you look and feel younger. Expect super results. Call for your free bottle at 800-288-1961. For details, call BioVaxine, 800-288-1961.
Have you had trouble losing weight? Your metabolism won't budge? The pounds keep piling on, making you depressed and lowering your self-esteem? Don't settle for obesity. Maxithin will trigger your fat cells once and for all. Hi, my name is Jenny, and I lost 22 pounds in 30 days. I have failed on many diets. With Maxithin, I got my life back and my husband back. Lose incredible pounds. Call for your free bottle of Maxithin at 800-835-8746. For details, call 800-835-8746.
The Guiding You Home Safely Report, provided and paid for by the National Air Traffic Controllers Association.
As you celebrate Independence Day, don't forget to take a moment to reflect on the freedoms we enjoy and what it means to be a citizen of the United States of America. Teddy Roosevelt once said, "Americanism means the virtues of courage, honor, justice, truth, sincerity, and hardihood, the virtues that made America." The National Air Traffic Controllers Association wishes you and your loved ones a safe and happy 4th of July.
Hi, I'm Paul Rinaldi, the president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. I've been an air traffic controller for 20 years, and I can tell you it's an intensely rewarding job. The air traffic controllers are proud public servants, safely guiding your flight and 70,000 other flights each day around this great nation. When you fly, we will guide you home with the highest level of safety and professionalism you expect. Visit us at NATCA.org. That's NACA.org.
Does this sound like you? You're not looking to find a job, but you're looking to make a career move. Now there's a career site made just for you, the Washington Professional, PowerJobs.com. PowerJobs.com features leading positions from area's top employers ranging from government contractors to nonprofits and associations. Using PowerJobs.com is easy. Sign up with Facebook, upload your resume using your LinkedIn profile, search by industry, and set up job-specific email alerts. There are hundreds of jobs for Washington's top talent. What are you waiting for? Visit PowerJobs.com today. Finally, a career site made for you, PowerJobs.com.
Living Vegetarian. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. A study indicates vegetarians have a somewhat lower risk of death. At Loma Linda University, which is affiliated with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Michael Orlich and colleagues looked at data on about 73,000 U.S. Adventists, including many vegetarians. Orlich says the risk of death was moderately lower among vegetarians, including some who ate dairy and eggs or fish. Orlich says previous research has not given a completely clear answer about whether vegetarians live longer, but he says
this research gives more support to the idea that certain vegetarian dietary patterns may be associated with reduced mortality and increased longevity.
The study in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
In the era of sequestration, the Next Generation of Government Training Summit is your solution for training and retaining your top talent. The two-day OPM-approved training kicks off on July 25th and features sessions on supervision, workplace savviness, public speaking, and project management. For a preview of our keynote sessions, head over to nextgengov.com. That's nextgengovt.com. Save $55 with code word FEDRADIO. We'll see you at the summit.
Now your Federal News Radio Cybersecurity Update, afternoons at 30 minutes past the hour. A Bethesda company will run the Defense Department's new app store and manage its mobile devices. Digital Management has won the contract for an initial term of 1 year and nearly $3 million. The Defense Information Systems Agency says the contract sets the stage for the digital ecosystem that lets employees and military mobile devices connect with department networks and share information. Security includes continuous monitoring and the ability to manage and configure mobile devices remotely. DISA says it could extend the contract for 2 more years and a total of $16 million. You get your cybersecurity update afternoons at 30 minutes past the hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com, reviewing the results of our Federal Chief Human Capital Officer Survey for 2013, sponsored by VMware. My colleague Jason Miller and I welcoming Jerry Buchholz, the Assistant Administrator for Human Capital Management at NASA, in the studio today. Buyouts, early outs, early retirements, they're different things, but they're associated together when people think about them across the federal government, Jerry. One of our questions on our survey, we asked, first of all, have you offered them at any point in the last year? And about 70% of our respondents said yes. Does that surprise you, or is that about what you expect? Because I would have thought the number would be a little bit higher than that.
No, that sounds about right to me. You as a tool, an early out is a way, again, to adjust your headcount and to bring your headcount down. It works best when you do it early in the fiscal year so that you have the opportunity to, through cost avoidance, recoup those salaries. We use them extensively following the end of the shuttle program to, you know, bring our headcount down. They can be a very, very effective tool in terms of making those sort of modest adjustments that you need to make, either in terms of your overall headcount or if you need to do some skills mix adjusting. It can be very, very effective for that purpose. It's really important to, you know your workforce well, to plan your buyout and or your early out offering well, to have a really solid communications strategy so that you don't inadvertently make people feel as if their contributions are no longer appreciated, which is, you know, not the case at all. So really giving people timely, accurate information, making sure that everyone understands what the agency's position is and what the purpose of their buyout and early out are absolutely critical to the success of using these tools.
NASA's done some early outs and buyouts.
Yeah, quite a lot, actually.
What's the reaction when the announcement goes out? I mean, I don't expect people to be jumping in the halls and celebrating, but at the same time, it's not a morale killer either, is it?
No, not at all. I think that because, well, we had a very, very dramatic shift in mission, and people understood that as a result of that, we wanted to adjust our skills mix, and we wanted to adjust the distribution of the workforce across the United States. A lot of people actually had put off their retirement because they knew the program was ending and they wanted to stay through the end of the program. And this helped them, those people, make transitions to other employment, which was, you know, a very, very good thing for us. And I think that's what's really critical is if you can tie the offerings to specific mission shifts and changes, it puts the power in the hand of the employee to make decisions about what's the right choice for them right now. I have seen pretty big variations across regional parts of the United States. They work as a tool better in some areas. If there is a really close relationship between the federal government and the private sector in a particular area and flow between the federal government and the private sector is robust anyway, you will find that this tool can really make you help make more rapid adjustments.
We asked the respondents who said, yes, we've done early retirements or buyouts in the last year. How many people accepted? 43% of them said between 200 and 500, and 28%, the second most popular response, was between 1 and 50. So we had each end of the scale there. How do you determine whether it makes sense to offer them to just a small, limited amount pool of people?
So if you have a big adjustment that you need to make in headcount, you're going to offer to a broader population. And if you set it up well and you do a good communications plan and you provide accurate and timely information, you'll get more takers. If you are, for example, there is a type of work that you're no longer going to be doing. So, for example, when the federal government agencies went to shared services for payroll, there were a lot of payroll clerks in the federal government. It was a skill that we don't need as much of anymore in the federal government. And so it would be an appropriate thing to offer early outs and buyouts to that population of people with that skill so that they can transition on to the next phase of their lives. And it opens then up some FTE for you to reprogram and do something else with that maybe is a growing priority. So they can it can be used very effectively for both strategies.
All right.
Real quick, I was going to say, a lot of people don't miss the point that early outs and buyouts aren't always about just reducing FTEs. It's as much about shifting. And I know NASA is a perfect example. As you described, the shuttle was ending, more into space exploration. Do you think that point is missed many times in the community, the broader community?
I don't think it's missed in the HR community. It may be missed in the broader federal government community that these tools, there's a single rule set, but the tools can be used for many purposes. And they can be used surgically and strategically, and they can be used in a broader fashion.
We asked a forward-looking question about buyouts and early retirements. Do you expect to offer them in 2013? And we got kind of a mixed bag. 41% said yes, 33% said no, 25% said not sure. It sounds like your colleagues and peers are not real sure what's going to happen in the year to come.
It is a little uncertain right now.
You know, what's interesting is I thought about that, Francis, was the fact that so many said yes, they were going to have them. I figured all the buyouts, because one thing that we've done over the last year in Federal News Radio is have a buyout tracker and an early out tracker.
Yes.
And 2011 was very busy. 2012 was even busier. 2013, I don't know if our web guru Jack Moore has been all that busy with updating our buyout tracker. So I was a little surprised by that 41% saying they were going to do them this year. I don't know if Jerry, you're hearing things from your colleagues saying, yeah, they're coming or you know, we're in the middle of them.
I haven't seen that very much. I would say that if agencies, because they are so much more advantageous in the beginning of the fiscal year, agencies would be planning for them now. And I haven't heard that kind of discussion among my colleagues. So I would say probably not so much in the coming fiscal year.
So you're talking about, because we're in 13, obviously, so we're looking at 14.
Right, so 14 starts on October 1st. Right. It takes several months to plan for a buyout.
And is there also a limit to how much, not from a buyout perspective of how many buyouts you can do, but does it get to a point where there's diminishing returns and offering buyouts just doesn't make sense anymore because the people who are going to take them took them and the people who aren't going to take them are not going to take them?
Yeah, absolutely. They work for maybe a couple of years, and then your window closes for a goodly long period of time because you no longer have pent-up demand.
And, of course, what Mike Causey's written about many times is that $25,000 is not the same as it was in 1986 or whenever it was when they first started to offer it. I think that's another conversation for Congress to jump into, maybe up that to $75,000 or $100,000, but that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah,
I know.
In different parts of the United States, that $25,000 goes further.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the S word next. I know it's a word that everybody in government hates to discuss, and we're going to get to that in a minute as part of our conversation with Jerry Buchholz, the Assistant Administrator for Human Capital Management at NASA. My colleague Jason Miller and I talking with her about the Federal Chief Human Capital Officer Survey 2013, brought to you by VMware. And our conversation continues in a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
Hey, what you doing?
I'm online looking at a satellite view of the neighborhood.
Huh. What's with all the dots?
Green means it's for sale, yellow means sold.
Gotcha. Hey, is that the house we looked at?
Yeah, I love it. Maybe we should talk to a realtor, make an offer?
Did that house just go from green to yellow?
Yeah, sold, right before our very eyes.
Buyers are in the market, but there's a shortage of homes for sale. If you've been thinking about selling, now may be the right time. Every market's different. Call a realtor today or visit realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Are you a government contractor? Federal News Radio wants to know how sequestration is affecting you. Take our anonymous survey today. Tell us, how have you or your company been positively or negatively impacted by the cuts? Are you concerned about sequestration in 2014 and beyond? Good, bad, unexpected, indifferent, we'd like to hear your sequestration stories. Results of the survey will be published as part of a special report in July. Find the survey at federalnewsradio.com. Search sequestration survey.
If you know someone who's done something outstanding in the field of human capital management, nominate them for Federal News Radio's 4th Annual Causey Awards. Help us call attention to best practices in your office and government-wide. You can nominate anyone, career, political, or a contractor working in the HR field. The award is named after Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search Causey Award.
You're listening to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and federalnewsradio.com. Now your DoD report, brought to you by BAE Systems, afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour. It's the 40th anniversary of the American transition to an all-volunteer military force. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is taking time to honor the men and women of the Defense Department today. He says even after 40 years, the all-volunteer force will need to rebalance and evolve to tackle the challenges it faces right now. You get your DoD report brought to you by BAE Systems, afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com, discussing the results of our Federal Chief Human Capital Officer Survey, brought to you by VMware. My colleague Jason Miller and I welcoming Jerry Buchholz of NASA to the studio today. And we're up to the part of the survey, Jerry, that addresses the most unfortunate word in the federal government right now, I think, and that's the S word, sequestration. We asked you and your colleagues in the human capital community, how is sequestration affecting your agency? And we gave them seven choices: furloughs, hiring freeze, funding for training been cut or significantly reduced, delay in major HR-related projects, increasing the number of employee retirements, increasing the number of employees leaving the agency for the private sector or no effect on human resources. You're probably not surprised that no effect came in dead last. Everybody ranked it just about ranked it last.
I'm surprised there was no all of the above. Certainly that's what I've observed. You know, some of those things have far greater impact on the federal workforce than others. Some of them have nearer term impact on the federal workforce. You know, cuts in training have long term consequences. I think it's really, really been challenging from a people perspective in the federal government.
People didn't seem to be that bothered, though, by the amount of retirements at the same time that we saw, especially in January, February, March of this year, huge numbers of people, far more people submitting for retirement, applying for retirement than OPM expected. But that doesn't seem to be bothering folks very much.
Well, I think it's bothering people that people are departing the federal government and taking a lot of their hard-earned knowledge with them.
It's just this other stuff bothering them more, I guess?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a question of what's in your face today and trying to sort out what you're going to work on first, because, of course, the HR offices and human capital offices of the federal government have suffered the same cuts in their programs and budgets as well. And so prioritizing becomes super important.
The top ranked result was funding for training been cut or significantly reduced. Number two was hiring freezes, and about the same amount of people responded that the hiring freezes were a really big challenge as responded that they had them at all. So it seems to me everybody who's under one thinks it's a big problem for them. It's really not working well.
Right. Part of the problem when you are putting a hiring freeze in place because you have to bring your headcount down and it's either it's freeze people or RIF people is that it makes it extremely difficult to adjust your skills mix, to address programs that are growing, to replace the people who are retiring, who take those early outs and buyouts with highly skilled people, because, you know, someone who's retiring is taking 30 years of experience with them. So, yeah, I absolutely agree. I also agree with my colleagues that the reductions in training that result from both cuts to the training budgets as well as limitations on travel and conferences are going to have, you know, pretty significant long-term impacts on the federal government agency's ability to deliver its mission.
One of the things two things stood out to me. I think the fact that furloughs was not a very high priority. In fact, it came in fifth out of seven as in terms of affecting your agency. But the other piece that I was surprised about was the delay in HR-related projects. Are you seeing, NASA, do you have some HR-related projects that you're saying, well, we're going to have to hold off on that because sequestration, whether it's funding or people or whatever the reason is?
Yeah, absolutely. We have projects that we are delaying the start of work on and projects that we have paused in the middle to get us through to the next fiscal year where we will be able to take a look at our entire year budget as opposed to taking our cuts halfway through the year, which in effect doubled our, you know, the impact of our cuts for the second half of the year.
And from a sense of those projects, can you offer any details in terms of are they critical projects, meaning like now we're going to continue with our legacy system that runs on COBOL and hope John, who's been running the system for 45 years, doesn't leave? Or are they kind of upgrades that are nice to haves but not necessarily critical?
It's both. We have exactly the situation that you had just described with our staffing system, which, you know, we really need to start looking at replacing. And now that's been put off for another year. And, you know, as we talked earlier, hiring is really, really important to us as well as to our customers. We also had to delay a lot of our leadership development programs. NASA is very well known for the quality of its leadership development programs. And of course, that greatly impacts our pipeline. So it's one of those things that, you know, is unfortunate. It's still manageable, though.
From that leadership program perspective, are you able to replace maybe the in-person leadership with online? Or are you able to kind of counteract
So we have really, in the last year, gone very heavily into virtual collaboration and really enhancing the capabilities of the agency to collaborate virtually. It's been tremendously helpful to us. So one of the reasons we concluded it was time to pause with our leadership development was we wanted to get that capability more robust and make those transitions that you described. We're really looking at a blended model of delivering a component of these programs virtually so that the in-person time can be only those things that you need to do when you are gathered together.
All right. We've talked about the S word in this part of our conversation, Jerry. So we're going to move to the F word next to finish up on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Our conversation with Jerry Buchholz of NASA, my colleague Jason Miller here as we review the Federal News Radio Federal Chief Human Capital Officer Survey 2013, sponsored by VMware. We'll wrap up in a minute on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
How are VA and HUD working together to end homelessness among veterans? What does it mean to pursue a housing-first approach to ending veteran homelessness? And how are VA and HUD raising awareness about available programs for those most at risk? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and more with two special guests, Susan Angel and Mark Johnston from HUD, next week on the Business of Government Hour. Tune in every Monday at 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, sponsored by AT&T, every Tuesday morning at 11 on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and online at federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk has the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Check out the world of high technology in the federal government as John speaks to CISOs, CTOs, and CIOs and gets into the specifics for federal IT systems integrators. Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, sponsored by AT&T, Tuesday mornings at 11 on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and federalnewsradio.com.
Profile America, Monday, July 1st. Income taxes first came to America 151 years ago today, when President Abraham Lincoln signed a bill levying a 3% tax on incomes between $600 and $10,000 and 5% for greater incomes. After helping finance the federal cause in the Civil War, the tax was rescinded in 1872. The income tax all of us know today dates to 1913, when the 16th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified, giving Congress the power to levy such taxes. About 145 million individual income tax returns are submitted annually. For those who dislike doing their own taxes, there are nearly 112,000 tax preparation offices around the nation. These services cost nearly $7 billion a year to have our taxes prepared. You can find more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Google scans every single picture that you upload to Google+. What it does, it learns what your family members look like. It groups photos of your family members together. It can tell if your subjects are smiling. So if you've got a subject smiling in three photos, and one photo they've got their eyes closed and are frowning, it will take the face from a good photo and paste it into the bad photo so everybody's smiling.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Come see high-profile D.C. politicos face off on the tennis court in the second annual Washington Castles Charity Classic, Thursday, July 18th. Members of Congress and administration officials join local celebrities and some of the world's best tennis players, including Martina Hingis, in a bipartisan world team tennis format match with 100% of ticket proceeds benefiting charity. For more information, visit WashingtonCastles.com or call 202-4TENNIS.
We'll be right back.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Jerry Buchholz is the Assistant Administrator for Human Capital Management at NASA, and she is in studio along with my colleague Jason Miller to talk about our Federal Chief Human Capital Officer Survey 2013, brought to you by VMware. And we talked about the S word a few moments ago, and now it is time for the F word, furloughs. Jerry, you are fortunate that you're not having to do those at NASA. But as you talk to your colleagues on the Chief Human Capital Officers Council and so on, what are some of the concerns that they express to you about how furloughs will impact their workforce and the mission?
They are very concerned. They're concerned in terms of getting the mission done. They know that the federal workforce, by and large, is very engaged in their missions and works really hard. There's a concern about many of the federal agencies that are furloughing one day a pay period for the remainder of the fiscal year. They're concerned that employees are cramming 80 hours of work into a 72-hour biweekly pay period and the level of burnout that that's going to cause in the federal workforce, along with not being able to replace people when they depart and people retiring, et cetera. And there's this real concern that, you know, people aren't going to go to training because they got to cram 80 hours of work into a shorter period of time, that that people are, you know, really going the extra mile to try to get the federal government through to the end of this fiscal year and the impact that that's going to have on the workforce. We are certainly seeing that kind of stress in the HR offices of the federal government, where they're having to execute these furloughs and make sure that people, you know, get their proper notifications and have answers to their questions, et cetera.
I'm going to break the mold here because we have time for just one more question. We only have about a minute or a minute and a half left. And I'm going to ask you to give me your answer to question 19. In which HR areas has your agency made the most progress over the last 4 years? Which one did you choose in this one? Which one? What are you most proud of what you've done?
I'm most proud of our leadership development. We really have been working hard on that pipeline. That's why having to put a pause on the program for sequestration kind of hits me straight in the heart. But we have done such a good job. We are really focusing our human capital program on innovation at NASA. And one of the cornerstones of that is the development of model supervisors who view the development of innovative employees as a productive and vital use of time. So we are really focusing in on that first-line supervisor, giving that supervisor the tools that they need to foster an environment where innovative employees can thrive.
Thank you very much for a terrific conversation. We appreciate
your
time.
You're very welcome.
It is great to have you here. Jerry Buchholz is the Assistant Administrator for Human Capital Management and NASA's Chief Human Capital Officer. And you can read more about her. You can find the results of our 2013 Federal Chief Human Capital Officer Survey sponsored by VMware at federalnewsradio.com. And thank you, colleague Jason Miller, for being here, executive editor, and working on this survey, developing the questions and making sure we got the answers, and thanks for being in studio today.
Thank you, and thanks to Jerry. As always, I think we tried to get you on earlier. I'm glad we made it happen.
We made it work.
Hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose right around the corner on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.